enjoyed our stay as we always have. We always enjoy coming, and we're just glad we were able to be back again with you. And we have certainly enjoyed our trip in many, many, many ways. It has been a tremendous experience. I'd like you to turn with me tonight to Isaiah chapter 55. I was thinking as I was listening to the music this evening, how wonderful it would be if even tonight, this last Sunday evening that I am with you, when someone would come to know Jesus Christ as a Savior. That would really cap the trip, wouldn't it? Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I don't suppose that in the English language there is a more welcome word to someone who has the burden of guilt on their hearts, and that is the words, I forgive. Forgiveness of sins. You know, we say those words so glibly, don't we? And yet, to know the forgiveness of sins is probably one of the great realities of salvation. We have looked at this wonderful subject very long this month. We have tried to hold up this many-faceted, beautiful idea in the Scriptures called salvation. We have tried to look at it from many different ways. This evening, I want to look at this wonderful word, forgiveness. Forgiveness, and we've just heard about it, forgiveness is a gracious act of God, whereby he freely discharges the burden for all sin, for sins, to all who will cry out to him for mercy, thus paving the way for reconciliation to take place. Forgiveness is the gracious act of God, whereby he freely discharges the burden of our sins to all who will cry out to him for mercy. One of the greatest reasons why people today don't cry out to God for forgiveness is because they are going on oblivious to their sins. Sins, is so ingrained in our nature and in our society that we have lost a real handle on what sin is. What is sin? Even in America, anyway, that which would be described as the most despicable of immorality just a few years ago. Words that my parents never heard and certainly would never repeat have in my generation become freely discussed. Situations and things which were only in closets in certain evil minds are now discussed openly and blatantly without shame. And in fact, are crying to be acceptable behavior, no less. The violence that pervades our society, when mothers become afraid to send their children to school, when schools are such chaotic condition, are in such chaotic conditions, and that, I mean, folks, I don't know whether you even know about it down here, but I mean, the majority of high schools in the United States today have metal detectors that every child walks through before he goes into the schoolhouse. I remember going to a school, an assembly, on the subject of AIDS. And this was in the Bronx in New York, okay? But I had never experienced, I had heard about it, but I had never experienced it. And I walked into that school that morning with the folks who were taking me to this particular assembly program. And it was the very first time that I had experienced two policemen on either side of a metal detector. And every student of the student body walked through that door. I thought to myself, where have we gotten to in our society? The drugs. You folks know about drugs. Unfortunately. When in the third and fourth grade, they are readily available to anyone. And as a result of this, you and I have become immune. We have become vaccinated to sin. We can hear and see things today that would have made my grandparents blush, and we see them on the evening news for that matter. That would have made my grandparents blush, and we don't even think about it. It rolls off our back like a water off a duck. Sin is an offense to the nostrils of God. And because we don't understand sin, why in the world would I need forgiveness? Why would I need the grace of God? I'm getting along quite well, thank you. I enjoy what I am doing. Hopefully, somewhere still, some of you have had the experience of reading probably one of the finest books outside of the Bible that has ever been published in the English language. And yet our generation barely knows the story, if they have ever been exposed to it at all. And that's the great story of Pilgrim's Progress. Now, I'm tempted to have a show of hands to know how many people have read that book, but I don't think I want to embarrass you. You know, and that's the problem. There are many people today who have never heard that story, who have no idea what it is. It was set in the idea of a dream, for those of you who may not be familiar. And it was a young man in that story by the name of Pilgrim. And he had a burden on his back. He was living in the city of destruction. And he realized that he had to leave the city of destruction. And he began this pilgrimage. But I have always been impressed with that story. He had a burden on his back. And somehow, in my mind, I cannot get past the idea that even in our society, with all of its blatant sin, that in the quiet moments of the heart, when the music has faded and the bright lights have been turned off and the friends are not around, that in the quiet moments of the heart, there isn't somehow a realization that I have sinned. I wonder tonight if there is one person in this audience who knows what I'm talking about, who understands, even though you may not have admitted it to anyone, and maybe you have drowned it in a bottle or a pill or in the loudest music that you could find. And loud music is pretty easy to find these days. Or in activity. Or in a job. Or in a relationship. And you have allowed your mind to be consumed by those things in an attempt to drown out the reality. Because you see, my God tells me in His book, in Romans in chapter 2, that in each of us there is that God-given moral reality that we do know right from wrong. There is right and there is wrong. And somehow, even apart from the Scriptures, we know. And you know what? That makes you absolutely different than your pet dog. I remember in that story that eventually this young man, pilgrim, had found his way to someone who said to him, well, what you need to do is to abide by the law. Why? Do the best you can. Turn over a new leaf. Obey the Ten Commandments. Start over again. And there are many people who, getting tired, sick and tired of the awfulness of their lives, say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to church again. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to live right from here on in. And maybe, just maybe, God will overlook the past of my life somehow.
And from here on in, it'll be okay. That's how they begin. And they go along for a few days or a few weeks or even a few months. You know, the New Year's resolution kind of a thing. And pretty soon they discover that they are bound by their sins. And all their hoping and all their trying and all their doing really doesn't lift the burden from their shoulders. That heavy burden is still there. There's something inside you that says that's not enough. I wonder if there's someone here tonight that has really honestly tried to do it right, to turn over the new leaf, to be more acceptable. And I want to ask you very seriously, are you happy? Do you really still feel right about yourself? Or is there something inside you that says, I don't think I'm doing enough? I'm not being good enough. I'm not, you know, there's something there. And that's just what happened to Pilgrim, you know. He discovered that the law only made him feel worse. There was still that emptiness inside. And you know what? There's a lot of people who are going through life today hoping against hope that in the end, when they stand before the big judgment bar, that in fact, somehow my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. And somehow God will overlook the shortcomings of my life. But if you ask them, are you really happy about that? Do you have any confidence in standing before God? If they were honest, which unfortunately most are not, they would have to tell you, I'm a little shaky. I don't really know. Because in reality, I don't really know how good I have to be. I don't really know how the weight is going to work out. And that's a scary feeling, isn't it? And you walk on with life, the burden that you know is in your heart and on your back, that you know it's not right between you and your God. And you will go on hoping, trying, I want to tell you tonight that there's a better way. There's a very much better way. Because what I want to offer you tonight on the authority of the Word of God is not a better way. I want to offer you tonight the forgiveness of all your sins. I would like for you to walk out that door tonight in the back at peace with God. To know that you have heard from the lips of God Himself, you are forgiven. Now, Now, how does one come to that conclusion? How do we go about getting forgiven of all my sins? And I don't know what your sins are. I don't know what all they are. But I do know God knows every one of them. And He is aching in His heart to forgive you of your sins. But how do I come to this? Well, let me tell you the very first thing, and it's in our text tonight. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. It's not let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and try to do better in the future. It's not let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and go out to the river and get baptized. I guess you do that in a sea here. It's not let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and join the church. It's not to let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and do penance or say prayers or even a prayer. Because prayer never saved anyone, by the way. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. Well, I have forgotten which night it was when I spoke about the subject of repentance. I think it was Tuesday night. So some of you may not have been here. At least it wasn't this full on Tuesday night anyway. So I have to assume some of you weren't here. To turn around. To change your mind about your sins. Recognize for the very first time in your life that I have sinned and the burden of my sins are weighting me down. Admit that to yourself. Stop kidding yourself. Begin to think rightly about yourself and the horrible condition in which you find yourself. And understand that you have up until this moment in your life have gone the wrong way. And you need to turn around and come to the Lord. Now, you know, that's tough. Now, I'll be real honest with you. That's tough. I mean, even on a horizontal level, I have done something wrong. I smashed somebody's window. I remember that as a kid playing baseball. You know, you throw the ball and somehow whatever happens and boom, you hear this awful crashing of window. And you know the hardest thing to do, don't you? I mean, the easiest thing to do is run and hope that somehow they didn't see who threw the ball. And the hardest thing in the world to do is walk up to the owner's door and knock on it and say, I'm terribly sorry, I just broke your window. That's tough. Because you see, the reason it becomes tough is there are times when I have done that, that the owner is terribly unhappy with me. And he has screamed and shouted at me and thought I was a horrible person and et cetera, and on and on. He was probably right, but the reality was I wasn't interested in hearing all of that. And so when I tell you to return to the Lord, you're saying to me, you're saying, well, wait a minute. You know, I mean, well, you don't know who I am, man. And I don't. And to turn to God, to turn to the Lord, to turn to Jehovah, I mean, what's he going to say? What's he going to do? How is he going to react? And it's legitimate to think through that. Because believe me, He is an offended God. And He has every right to banish you forever to hell. And you deserve every minute of it. Believe me. But that's where the good news comes in. What does the rest of my verse say? He will have mercy upon him. And he will abundantly pardon. Now, I want to tell you something. It's not cheap. I am not offering to you tonight something that is not cheap, that is cheap. I'm offering to you pardon from a God who took all your sins, the big ones and the little ones and the ones you've forgotten about and the ones that's really bothering you. And He has taken them and He has judged them. And He has come up with a substitute. His Son. And He has placed the punishment of your sins upon His Son. And so you see, it isn't that your sins have gone unpunished. Because God wouldn't be just if he did that. But you see, because they've been put on His Son, because He has taken the punishment, when you come to Him, He will have mercy. He can abundantly pardon and stay absolutely righteous in the process. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7. Oh my, look at the time. Luke chapter 7. I'll get you out of here in a minute. Luke chapter 7, verse 42. The Lord is in the middle of telling a story to a Pharisee. And He's saying in verse 41, He says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50 pence. And this is the phrase that I want you to understand. And when they had nothing to pay. When they had nothing to pay. It didn't matter whether it was 500 pence or 100 or 50 pence. It didn't matter whether it was a big sins, many sins, or a few sins. The reality is neither one of them had anything whereby they could pay the debt. And that's precisely the position that God would have for you tonight. Because you can't pay the punishment for your sins. Because the punishment for your sins, even one of them, is eternal separation from God. And you can't do that. But Jesus did. Now, what God is asking from you tonight is to do this. Say, hey, I have nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. To come as a beggar to the greatest King in all the universe and say to Him, I have sinned. I have perverted the right way. And it hasn't profited me anything. This burden is still on my back. I cast myself completely at your mercy. You can do with me whatever you want. And I am here to tell you on the authority of God's word, the minute you do that, He will forgive your sins.
Because that's what he's waiting for. He is a magnificent giver. A giver of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, and it is exclusively out of His great grace. You don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it, and He has no reason to give it, except that He is a gracious God. And in grace, He wants to forgive your sins, if you will only turn to Him. If you will only admit to Him, I'm a beggar, I can't pay for my sins. I cast myself on your mercy. And believe me, there is not one person in this room who has ever done that to Jesus Christ that hasn't discovered the reality of the forgiveness of sins. And when Pilgrim in that great story got to the foot of the cross, and he saw Christ, if you will, by faith, hanging on the cross, paying for his sins. And as he came to the foot of the cross and cast himself at the foot of the cross, the burden of his sins rolled away. And he was free from the debt of that great burden of sin. And believe me, that's precisely what the word means. It means to lift, to bear away, to take away. And that's what God wants to do to you. That's what Jesus Christ wants to do with your sins. He wants to lift them from your shoulders and take them away that you might live in the absolute freedom from the debt and the guilt and the burden of your sins. Tonight, you can walk out that door knowing that your sins are forgiven. I would beg you, don't allow the culture and the society in which you live, don't allow your vaccination that we have had to the horribleness of your sin. Cloud your mind. Admit before God that you are a sinner. And believe me, He will set you free. Let's sing in closing just one verse because it's late. 250. Before we sing that, let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we would pray that even as we sing this last song, that you would, by your Spirit, awaken some soul to simply place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and experience the forgiveness of sins. We would ask this in our Savior's name. Amen.